Good evening, family. My name is Spike. I'm a grateful recovering addict. Hello, family. I'd like to give thanks to my higher power, who I choose to call God, and you people for being here for me. It's good to be at a convention and at a dope house or a bar. I like to hear myself say that. Especially this particular convention. Came all the way from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to be with you all. So that feels good, man. It's good to be here. You know, I didn't get high in Maryland or Philadelphia, but I came to COP today, you know, and it feels good to be here. And being asked to do some service, you know, gives me great gratitude, you know. And I love this fellowship, I want to say that, you know. And anytime I'm asked to do some service, it's more than a pleasure, because I remember being a disservice, and now being able to stand up and be some of service, man, means a lot to me. You know, service structure, where do I start at? You know, I remember coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and looking for hope, you know, looking for a way out. And when I came to the meeting, the people there before me was of service to me, big service. You know, I seen glows on people. I seen them clean. And I didn't know much about staying clean, but I knew something was happening here. They was hugging, and they seemed to be somewhat happy. And that's what I wanted. I wanted a piece of that. I wanted to be a part of right away, you know. And I felt comfortable going to my first meeting. I felt nervous, but at the same time, I felt good because I was around somebody who understood where I came from. You know, I stole out of my mother's purse. You did that. I stole out the store. You did that. I worked all week and spent my check. You did that. You know, for the first time, I sat around some people that understood that I had a problem, and they had the same problem, and they were willing to help. And the way they helped me at the beginning was sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And, man, I tell you, this program is so awesome. And it's just, sometimes it's just words, it ain't words that can describe how I feel about being in Narcotics Anonymous, being a proud member. But service structure, sometimes me being of service is just showing up. Sometimes doing the right thing for the right reason. Sometimes it means going to area service meeting, even when I don't want to be there. I mean, sometimes I could walk into one of those area service meetings and it's like, all these people took the time out to come together, to sit down and argue about some shit that they have no control over. And sometimes I don't understand that. You know, what I messed around is, I messed around and went to one meeting too many and got hooked on this, right? And I messed around and got some information and found out that this is not about me, personally. This is not my shit. This was here before I got here. And I'm almost sure, without a doubt, it's going to be here when I leave here, you know. And I want to say that through my experience is I've known members to hide behind service. And see, I got some information that you all taught me is to take what I learned here and apply it to my everyday life. Now, some people involved in service, that might be the only life that they know at that time in their recovery. And you have to be careful doing service because you don't want to get too judgmental. Because people starting out in service are very sensitive. And I found that out. And we could run people off with our ego and we know everything. But I know God is in charge. And me allowing that person to have their space, their opinion, all right, and allowing them to be where they at. And sometimes the best thing I could do in a service meeting or a service structure is to just sit there and practice some humility and practice the serenity prayer and allow them to be where they at. And then when it's my turn to give my input or my opinion, and then, which is so important, is when I have some information, right, that I know is valid and I know it's not misinformed information, to stand up for what I believe in, what I feel is right, even if that person might have more clean time than I have. It's important that I stand up and challenge them if I feel that I'm right, then to be just a body and not being a voice. That's not being a service. That's being a disservice when I know what's right. And me not saying nothing, that's not, two wrongs don't make a right. And what I found out in my own experience is people could take this shit and run with it and think it's their shit for real and want to govern and control. And it's best for me to allow them their space and allow them to grow at their own pace. But the unconditional love is to approach them in a loving and caring way and saying, hey, man, this ain't about you. This is a we thing. And I'm going to tell you about an experience that happened to me that allowed me. Matter of fact, it didn't allow me. It made me take my service to another level. This last convention, we had 6 guest speaker slots. Right? And out of the 6, we only represented ourselves with 1 person from our area. This one particular individual took it upon himself to invite 3 speakers from another area, that same area. Now, remind me, we only got 6 slots. He put it upon himself to invite 3 from this one area and invite them to our convention to speak in the main speaker slots without taking a vote. This was totally self-willed, and it happened, and that happened, right? 2 or 3 weeks later, that same area where he invited 3 speakers from, that particular convention, they had 12 speaker slots, right? They took 8 of the slots for themselves, and they had 4 left. And out of the 4, they did not give our area 1 of those speaker slots. Was I angry? Yes. I felt, kind of took it personal. I felt if though they didn't respect our recovery, I felt that they judge our recovery, saying that we don't work steps. We always talk about the problem, but never talk about the solution. And I felt that they judged us, and I felt it was wrong. But what was my job? What was my place in that situation? The solution for me was to get on the convention committee. And I felt like as long as I'm on the committee, that won't happen again. And I strongly feel that we don't represent ourselves. See, we could hear somebody speak from another town, and we could put them on a pedestal, but we don't even know them. We just heard them speak. We don't know if they walk in that walk, but they talking the talk. And we hear some oohs and ahs, you know, and we feel that they walk in that. And we invite them out to our area, and we treat them like family, you know. But we don't know if they walk in that. But the people that we've been seeing for years, oh, we beat them up, tear them down. Because we'd rather tear down their house than help build our own house. And by that experience, I said that we have to start supporting our own. And we have to start pulling us. As men, we don't get together. Because of egos and images and face, we don't get together. Now, I say the women get together. I've seen the women get together. But I've also seen outside of my area, men getting together. In one particular area, there's 60 men get together, and they go do a convention together. That's service, man. And that's powerful. And so that's what I'm trying to bring to my area. But I've also seen in my own experience, newcomers and people that's been here a while, I say between the years of 90 days and up to 6 years, I've seen people, if they're not on the convention committee, if they're not involved with H&I, hospitals and institutions, if they're not chairing a meeting, and if they don't have a sponsor, eventually they end up going back out. So it is extremely important to get involved with service. Your opinion and your ideas count. And we need those. We need you to bring new ideas to the table and to express how you feel about a certain situation and your ideas, you know, in your creativity. It's important. Service is very important. I started out in service doing H&I, hospitals and institutions. And an old timer took me by the hand and took me to a facility. And when he took me to this facility, these people were coming off the streets. And I had like 6 months clean. And I was their first vision of hope. Just staying there, just being there with clean clothes on and saying, my name is Spike, I'm a grateful recovering addict, I got 6 months clean. Their first vision of hope. After I spoke, those people came up to me and they said, man, I like what you shared. Can I get your phone number? And will you be my sponsor? And seeing those individuals get 6 months clean, get a year clean, get 18 months and say, I remember seeing you. We had a convention now, or we had a meeting. I remember seeing you. You came up to the hospital and shared. And I might not even remember that particular person at that time. But they say, I remember when you came out, man, and shared your experience, strength, and hope. I got 18 months clean. I got 2 years clean now. I'm chairing a meeting over here. Would you come out and share your experience, strength, and hope? You know, will you give me your phone number? You know, and that is so rewarding, man. I mean, I can't be in this fellowship and not do some service. I have to be plugged up. You know, and my sponsor asked me a question recently. And I got 4 pages on this one particular question. And the question was, and I want you to ask yourself this question. And think about it before you answer. He said, what did you get clean to do? And I thought about that. I lost all my dreams and goals, man, in the dope house. You know, I remember wanting to die, man. I didn't want to live. You know, my mother handed my drawers and toothpaste and soap through the mail slot, telling me to go on where you spent your money. Your wife and your kids could stay here, but Spike, I don't want you in my house. Give me my motherfucking keys. And I don't mean to curse, but that's the way she said it. Cold. And I felt bad, man. You know, and as I reflect on doing service, trying to help somebody else, man, I remember when the party was over, and the birds are tweaking, tripping, and it's time to go home and face the music, man, again, man. And I just blew my check last week, and now again. And I said I wasn't going to do that no more. Again. Didn't take care of no responsibility. Sometimes service to me is just paying my bills, man. You know, being service, not cheating on my wife. Been with that woman 21 years. Finally got 14 months clean in that area. So that's service, man. You know, doing the right thing for the right reason. You know, if I'm going to cheat, because that's a crime. That's committing adultery. I need to get a divorce. Until then, you know, I need to do what I'm supposed to do. You know, and service, man. It said, I was reading the 12 concepts and was talking about you have to be careful how you pick members to be a service. Because like I said earlier, they said, start claiming that this shit is theirs. And this is the weak thing. Man, this thing here is so big and huge, man. I mean, this thing, it's way bigger than us. It's way bigger than everybody in this convention. This thing is big and it's powerful, man. And it's all over the world. The world. They got this stuff in China now. You know? You do? You know? And I know it's important to do service, man. And it's important to cop some humility and do what's best for the fellowship. And I might not like it. But see, in a group setting, they take a vote. And I vote whether I like it or whether we should do that or not. But the decision is left to the group. If the majority say against what I said, what I voted for, then that's what we do. If it's for what I, well, then that's cool. But at the same time, man, it's not about me. You know, I want to go to this service piece here. I'll give you some of this literature because I love the literature. And I want to go into Webster service. Help giving to others. A religious gathering. The military. A set of dishes or utensil. To repair. To furnish a service to something or someone. And structure. Structure. A construction made up of a combination of related parts. And us in a group, our part, you're just one part, or just, should I say, one piece to the puzzle. That's all you are. You know, when you're thinking you're the whole puzzle, you done got outside of service, and you done got into your own shit. And I've learned through doing service, and I love doing service, because it's a reward at the end. You know, when I'm doing service, it gives me some humility and it gives me a feeling of being of service for the God of my understanding, man. Because, see, this God that I serve is so awesome. Saved me from me. So it's important that I continue to give back. And like I said, even just showing up and not saying nothing. I'm doing service. Or just hugging a newcomer. And saying, my name is Spike, I'm an addict. Or just taking someone else out to coffee after the meeting. Or buying somebody else coffee. You know, being a sponsor, that's service, man. It's all kind of ways that you can serve this fellowship. But it's important to get involved. Give back what was so freely given to you. You know, and then another piece too is this, the 12 concepts of NA is so important, too. This is the structure of this fellowship. And the sister was saying that we don't go by that no more. You know, but every area grows at its own pace. And what I've seen so much, man, is people get in, involved in service, and they develop these cliques, man. I don't know if it happens here, but it's like they call somebody on the phone. Like, say, new positions are coming up, and they'll call somebody, and they'll say, yeah, we're going to try to let Richard in for chair. What you want to be? Well, I want to be vice chair. Well, I want to be treasurer. You know, they say, be careful how you pick these members to be of service. Here you is. You've been a fucking thief all your life, and now you want to be the treasurer. We better think about that. You know, he unmanageable. He never been able to keep a bank account. The balance has always been zero or minus zero. You know, how can he be a servant? We have to be careful with that. Because I've seen and heard people running off with convention money, man, like $40,000. I mean, that ain't something we go out in the backyard and pick off the tree. You know, that's hard-earned money that we've had functions. We've had function after function to raise this money to throw a big convention. And the convention is only about raising money. That's what this thing is about. It ain't about, I thought, the therapeutic value. You know, because sometimes, man, this thing here gets hectic, man. I mean, well, people begin to want to fight at these meetings, these convention meetings, man. People take this thing real personal, man. Some people get involved in service and they take it real personal. Like, I can't stand that MF and so on and so on. She thinks she this and that, man. And the you know what I'm talking about. The attitudes, man, and people take it real personal. And you have to be careful. And that's the best time to say the serenity prayer and to pray for that individual because they get caught up. It's so important that I stay focused on what's best for the group and not take it personal. You know, and I've seen in area service, it be a meeting going on, and then people, they'll come in and they'll like, say, you in charge of a meeting, you're the chair of that meeting, you're the GSR of that meeting, and they'll say, well, let me give my meeting report, and then I got to go because I got a life, you know. And I'm like, man, before I came here, I didn't have no damn life, you know. So it's important that I cop some humility, man, and practice some patience and wait till they get to me. And then about service, it's like, if you can't keep the commitment, you know, I don't think you should take the service position. You know, try to be an alternate or something. But the best service position that I ever served, as long as I served, the reward was so overwhelming, was the H&I. I got to be chair of that committee. But the reward is to see the seed planted and to watch the seed grow. I mean, I've seen people now with 4 and 5 years, man, and it just blows me away. Now, I remember when they came in. Now they weighing about 100 pounds more than they did when they came. And not only that, they finna get married, or they got their own business. Or, hey, Spike, come outside. I'm going to show you my brand new car. You know, or I just got a promotion on the job. I'm running some shit, you know? And it's just rewarding because when I reflect, man, I remember when you didn't have 2 nickels to rub together, when you didn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out. I know that this program works, man. And it's awesome, man. You know, that woman that was handing my drawers and toothpaste and soap through the mail slot, today I got keys to her house and a car, you know. And she loves to show me off, you know. And that's the reward, man, having my own business, man. And still being with this woman with 21 years clean. I mean, 21 years with this same woman, man. Sometimes that blows me away because some people can't stay together 21 months. And when you put that kind of time together in a relationship, what I found out on paper in this thing is that I can sustain a committed relationship. I can do long term. And what I found out is allowing myself to be as honest as I can and to be as honest as I can and to allow myself to make mistakes but not continue to make the same mistakes, to try to keep the focus on what's best for me and my entire family and to be of service for this fellowship. What can I do for this fellowship? The guy, I was over in New York, and the taping guy here invited me out here. He told me, you find a way to get here. I buy you lunch. I put you up in a hotel. And I spent $250 to get here. I remember I didn't have $250, man. I go wherever this thing is at, man. You know, and so I'm doing a lot of conventions. Thank God. I said, I didn't get high in Philadelphia, I mean in Washington or Baltimore, but I'm recovering, man. You know, come all this way to recover, man. This thing is awesome. You know, I said, I'm from Milwaukee, man. They said, man, you came, how far is Milwaukee? You came a long way. And some people say, man, they got dope there. Yeah, they got dope in Milwaukee too, you know? But meeting people, getting phone numbers, and being of service, doing some taping, you know, and having some fun. Don't be in this fellowship and don't have no fun. You know, Ain't no more losing. Ain't no more losing. It's winning from here on. And I tell you, if anybody could tell you better, I have had some experiences, man, clean in this fellowship that I work through, man. I know it only could be a God. Because there's been times where I wanted to kill people, right? I can't be no service in jail. You know, there's been times where I just wanted to fly off the hook, man, and do some crazy stuff. You know, and the 10th step talks about when things are coming down the paper, we resort back to our old ways of thinking and reacting. And that's what I think about when stuff ain't going the way I think that it should go. How do I approach that person? Do I show some love and respect and cop some humility? And do I approach that person in a loving and caring way? That's so important, man. Because we could run people out of here, man. And we need all the people we can get, man. And realizing that people are sensitive, man. You know, and my sponsor got me in touch with that piece. Because what happened to me was a sister from my area said something to my sponsor to the fact that Spike don't even go to meetings. And I had did some service for my sponsor. He has a restaurant business. And what I had did was helped him cater food to the convention. And he decided to take her and her sponsee out for breakfast. And he was saying that he had made some money at this convention, right, selling food. And when he told her how much money he made, the only thing that she could say all the way from Milwaukee to Detroit was, "Fuck Spike. Spike don't go to meetings." And I was like, the liturgy says we are not under surveillance at any time. I'm like, why she got the fucking camera on me? You know, and I see when sick minds get together and start practicing. So to keep the focus off herself, she put it on me. And how did I handle that? I got into the literature. We creatures of habit, and we resort back to our old ways of thinking. I don't need to be putting my hands on that sister. And my sponsor said, "You are sensitive." And I had to think about that. Feelings. All she did was hurt my feeling. Well, shit, the dope man hurt my feeling too. So, what the fuck? I went and got her a t-shirt, and I invited her out to dinner. Service. Invite her out to dinner and tell her, "Hey, I love you, and you ain't got to do that to me. Not today." You know? And she never took me up on the offer, fearing that I was going to approach her. Because, worry, you think you got a secret around. Don't fuck around and share something with somebody in these rooms. You know, and that's what happened. The word got back to her when I was trying to get in the solution. We invited her out to dinner and let her know that I love her. But this is a person with 10 years or more in this fellowship, man. Things are not going to always go your way. People are not going to always act the way you feel they should act with time. Keep coming back. Get involved with service. Do the right thing for the right reason. Have some fun. You only live once. In this lifetime, we live in twice. You know, now doing service, man, is hugging a person who I know don't like me. And sitting down with a person who got some differences between me and saying, "Hey, man, let's talk about this. Because I don't want to continue to see you at another convention without hugging you. Every time I see this person at a convention, I don't hug them, I don't say nothing to them. And we live in the same area." And so I just said, "Hey, man, this is one convention too many. I love you, man," and hug them. And allow him to. I don't want to carry the resentment no longer. It's painful. It hurts. You know, and I know I love that brother. And I need to let him know and show some love and respect and hug him despite how he might feel about me. That's service. Because I've seen people, man, in a meeting start fighting. You know, in recovery clubs, playing dominoes. And all of a sudden, start calling each other bitches and hoes and start fighting, man. You know, see some sick shit that happened. But at the same time, my sponsor got me in touch with judgment. Stop judging. I said, "Man, they're doing some crazy stuff in there." He said, "Hey, from now on, Spike, when you go to the meeting, You leave your Judge Joe Brown robe at the door when you go in. And stop judging. Because that judgment can run you out of here. I got a partner. I want to close with this. I got a partner that had 8 years clean. Preaching behind the pulpit at church and everything. And I love this guy. And we could never find a time to hook up together and do something, right? Eventually, that guy started back selling dope, man. And one particular day, I never forget it, June the 21st, 5 guys surrounded his building and made him lay down on the porch and proceeded to go upstairs to rob the place. And he heard 2 gunshots. And he said, he proceeded to get up. And the guy standing over him said, didn't I tell you to lay down? And shot him 5 times in the back, man. He's no longer here. Right? And so I have to be careful with the judgment. And I see somebody I know, they're selling dope. Pray for them and pull them, say, hey, man, pull them to the side. You need to cut that out, buddy. I got experience. My buddy no longer here. You know, it's, my sponsor said some have to die in order for us to stay here, man. And he was saying that when that person been in this fellowship and decide to sell dope or go back out, he said, we don't go to their funeral, man. Because it's like they turned their back on us and they said, fuck us. I said, man, that's heavy, man. I really love that guy. You know, and I wanted to attend that funeral. You know, he said, we don't do that, you know. This fellowship is awesome, though, man. And I love this, yo. You know, you want to do some service? Get involved with service. Do some work for God. Get outside yourself. Have some fun. Help the newcomer. And with that, I keep coming back.
Keep coming back. Thanks, Spike. At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Leah.
Hi, I'm Natick. My name's Leah. And I don't know why Eric picked this topic, but I know why he chose me. I've been a member of the CMP region now for a long time. In fact, I was talking to somebody who also does a lot of service to the fellowship at the stuffing party on Tuesday night where we did all the registration packages. And we were sitting down talking about it a little bit, how few of us that have probably made it to every single CMP regional convention, and that, you know, we were 2 of us, and we were talking about how many of the people that don't come any longer. From back then, there were 465 people. He knew the numbers in Annapolis for the first one. But I was newly clean, and when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I called the phone line, and a gentleman answered, and he's crazy. And he's still clean and still fairly involved. But he wouldn't give up on me. And I was using, and I was strung out. And I wound up coming to Narcotics Anonymous, walking into these rooms with open abscesses, strung out, and a mess, and getting clean right here. And I've never been anywhere else. You know, so for me, Narcotics Anonymous truly saved my life. There was never a counselor. There was never a treatment center. There was nobody but this guy who answered the phone when I called. And he carried a beeper. And he called me right back, and we talked for a while, and it took me a number of months to actually get clean. So my first experience with service was somebody doing some for me. And he would say things to me like, I'm going to think you're dead in an alley off of O Street if you don't call me every night. And I used to work in a club. And I'd say, I don't get home till 3 a.m. He'd say, I don't care. Call me anyway. I want to know you got home safely. You know, I did that for a while, using. And I'd go to meetings. He got me going to meetings regularly, and he'd say things to me like, you know, are you clean? And I'd say, no, but I'm doing much better because I'm using less. And he'd be like, Narcotics Anonymous is about total abstinence. You know, we don't use anything. And, you know, so that was my first experience with it. Now, Narcotics Anonymous was still relatively small when I got clean here. And, you know, and I lived in D.C. And there weren't that many meetings to go to. And some people would say, you know, you can't get clean in just Narcotics Anonymous. There's not a lot of clean time here. You know, but I bet my life on NA. And so far, you know, I've managed to stay clean for a long period of time. Sometimes it actually amazes me when I stop and think about how long I've been clean, because I still remember using, and I still remember what it's like, clearly, you know. And in fact, my home group, I see people, you know, I walk by the guys copping on the street all the time, and it's pretty rough, and it's late at night on a Friday night where everybody's, if they have jobs, they've got their paychecks, and they're really having a good time, and it's getting warm out, so it's going to get better. But I remember the using, and I got a home group, and it was called the 12 and 12 Study Group. It was the 12 Traditions and 12 Steps, and we had a lot of very involved members at that time. We had a member who sat on the World Policy Committee, we had a member who sat on the World PI Committee, and we had a member who sat on the World Lit Committee, and we had the RSR for the region. And I had gone away and gotten a little clean at my mom, and I came back with 60 days clean, and I'm going to these meetings, and when I had about 7-8 months clean, it was conference agenda report time. And we went for 2.5 hours for 8 weeks going over the conference agenda report. And we'd have these motions, and they'd be fighting about them and arguing about all these motions, and I don't know how many people have ever had the pleasure of going over a conference agenda report. But, you know, that was my real experience with Narcotics Anonymous as a whole outside of my little area. But I started seeing it, and, you know, and about that time, I wound up getting elected to a position where I had to get the speaker for a meeting. Now, because I was in this group, and you had this sort of, like, mixed message sort of crowd, and then you had this really hardcore NA crowd, and there weren't a lot of meetings, and they wanted you to bring different speakers, and they critiqued what you did, and you'd better know what their speakers are going to say, because if not, they will call you on the carpet. There will be none of this like, oh, it's okay, you didn't know, or any of that stuff. You better know what you were bringing somebody to say, because if they said the wrong thing, it was your ass on the line. You know, and I learned a lot then, because, and it did a bunch of things for me. One of the things it did for me is it made me leave the few meetings that I regularly went to and go to other meetings and listen to what people had to say. And ask, so I had to do my homework. People will call me today, you know, on a Sunday afternoon and say, can you lead a meeting tonight? And I'll be like, no. And they're like, I thought you loved NA, that you'd do anything for NA. And I'd be like, why are you asking me to lead a meeting tonight? Where were you? You knew you needed somebody a week ago. Why weren't you doing what you needed to do? You know, don't lay that on me, that guilt on me. Call me at the last minute. You know, I have life. I plan things. I'm not going to bail your ass out. You go to the group and explain to them why you're asking somebody who walks in the door to lead on the 11th step who's got 10 months clean. You go ahead and explain it. You know, because I don't. You're not going to be able to guilt me into doing something. When I do something for Narcotics Anonymous, I do something because I want to and because I love NA. You know. And I've done a lot of things for Narcotics Anonymous over the years. And when I talk about the structure, you know, the first committee I ever did work for was H&I. I used to take a meeting into a woman's halfway house at 19th and Swan. They were fresh out of prison. They didn't want to be there. It was the only night of the week they couldn't go out because they had to go to the meeting. And they were evil. They were evil women, but they had me, so I could deal with them. You know, and they, at some point, you know, I'd go in there, and I didn't know what I was doing. And they'd start trying to act up like they were in prison. I'd be like, you know what? I'm running the meeting here. You can stay or you can go, but you will not be talking when you should not be talking. And I don't want to hear that shit. And if I put them out, they lost their weekend pass. So guess what? All of a sudden, they could listen. And I don't care if they hear or not. You know, my job is not to force recovery down somebody's throat. When I do service to Narcotics Anonymous, it's trying to carry the message. The message is, should you want to get clean, should you be tired of where you're at, this is a way that works. This is what I did. You know, that's all I can give somebody. And everything that I've ever done, that's what I try and do. I'm not always the most spiritual person. I'm almost always do things for the right reasons. But that was my first experience with Narcotics Anonymous outside of a group. You know, and I've pretty much done everything that you could possibly imagine in NA, except chair the region, and I really don't want to do that. And you know, I've done a lot of things over the time, and you know, I don't say that to sort of pat myself on the back. I say it because there's nobody that I got involved with who's still around. And there are people who come back, and it's great. But I have gotten so much more from doing it than I could possibly ever have given. You know, when I walk into a meeting in Rome and know somebody from the World Service Conference, do you know what a feeling that is, you know, to see that and to know, you know, that when I started going to the World Service Conference, there were no meetings in the country of Italy, you know, and it can give chills up and down my spine, you know, for real when I see that. And every time, and I don't know how many people get the NA Way magazine sent to you. It's a free publication. You can go to na.org and sign up for it. It's, I don't know if it's quarterly. But when you read some of the stories in there and see that, and I've been able to be a part of Narcotics Anonymous and watch it really take off and to hear what it's like when they start a meeting in Peru, you know, or to hear what it's like and them talk about what it's been like the last 6 or 7 years and how many addicts have gotten clean, or the ability to go to Cartagena, Colombia and see that, or to read like that. NAS News had the billboard that Public Information has up in Colombia on the corner. Need help? Call Narcotico Anonymous. They have billboards in the country of Colombia telling people that if they have a drug problem and need help, to go to Narcotics Anonymous. Now, we all do that, you know, but it was a very small thing when I got clean, and we do that through our structure. You know, locally, the way it started, and I wasn't here then, was groups would do things. And I saw it. I went to the Bahamas for the first Bahama convention, and they had meetings at this one place every day of the week. And the phone line was in the meeting. The only time anybody answered the phone line was the 2 hours when the meeting was going on, you know. But the group basically ran the phone line. And that's how it used to be, that groups would do things. Groups would sponsor an H&I meeting, and people from the group would volunteer to go in. You know, there weren't very many groups, so there weren't very many H&I meetings or anything else going on. But that's how it all started. It came to a point where the groups needed to focus on the group, and we created our structure. You know, we created what we know as an area service committee, a way for groups to communicate with each other. Because you must remember, like, an area used to be 4 groups in Richmond, 8 in Baltimore, you know, 6 in D.C., 1 out in Frederick, and they would come together and fight, you know. But they got to know each other, and it was one added carrying the message to another and see that. And when a group would have trouble trying to find a space, because it didn't used to, people didn't know who we were when we started. You had to go sort of educate them on even to get to let a group in. Now they know who we are. Unfortunately, we have not always made a good impression on some of the facilities we've used, you know. And that's another sort of a group function that we really need to pay attention to. But, you know, that's how it started. But then we started getting a structure together. Let's get a few people from different groups working on different areas. And, you know, so we have an ASC. We have a region. You know, when I got clean, our region was, you know, both Free State and CMP. And it was very large, but there were still only about 300 meetings between the two. Now there's probably closer, you know, well over 1,000, you know, and that's where the label of the growth was. You know, but you had to travel a lot farther. You were willing to do a lot more. One of the things you notice in service is the same people do the same things over and over again. Well, that's always been the case. It just used to be everybody in the fellowship because there was a lot to do and not many people. Now everybody thinks somebody else can do it. And I really think that they sell themselves short. You know, service has been my life for a long, long time. And we don't use the 12 concepts in the CMP region. I don't know how many people here are from the CMP region. But, you know, one of the things that we absolutely believe in is group conscience. And one of the things the concept says is to pretty much delegate the authority to the service structure to act on your behalf. And while we do that to a degree, we want people to ask us what we want rather than make decisions for us without asking. So we send most everything that's of any consequence goes back at the group level so the groups can talk about it. And sometimes the groups can be really quite surprising on things. And that's does two things. Not only does it ask them what they think, it lets them know what's going on. Because much of the time, the service structure acts independently from the group. You know, nobody, I rarely, and unfortunately in our region this is the case too, and I've gone many places where GSRs give a report at the meeting on what happened at area service during the meeting. Like a secretary's report, they'll say, let's have a GSR's report. Okay, well, this is what we talked about. This is what's going on. These events are happening, blah, blah, blah. And they have a little written report to actually communicate with the group, the whole group, not just the three people who go to the business meeting. And it's a very interesting thing. It works very well some places. I sometimes think that it wouldn't be bad for us because it does. A lot of times I think our members are just uninformed and we don't communicate well. I had the privilege and the stupidity of when World Services did an inventory a few years ago and we changed the way our structure works, and it was the beginning of how we've changed to NAWs and gone to RDs and really eliminated some of the committees, but we did surveys, and it was very interesting to read some of the surveys that we got. The lone person in Hong Kong, when there was no area or anything there, who said, no, we really don't want to participate in a zonal forum because it's going to add another layer of service. And we're willing to wait until we grow large enough to become a region so that we can come and talk to the world directly. You know, I mean, but I got to read about the 2000 ones that came back, and we did an inventory with surveys on all the areas and regions, and I really got an idea of how different people think, you know, and none of it's necessarily wrong. And that's one of the keys, you know, that no matter how it works, as long as it is working, it's probably okay. And Spike was talking about people killing themselves in service meetings, and I've seen a lot of that. A lot of that happens because of Robert's rules. People think that I use Robert's rules, and I know all of them, most of them. Robert's rules will save us from ourselves because everybody is treated the same way if you use them, and it's a very clear-cut decision on how things should go. One of the reasons why people fight is because they're always trying to change things when they don't go their way. They want to change what's there and fighting and arguing, going back and forth and calling out their friends to vote on stuff and all that. If you use Robert's rules, that's not going to happen. You know, but people don't want to use Robert's rules, and they think you're putting them through hoops when you do it. So look at Robert's rules because they actually work. And, I mean, the British are very difficult, and they used them to save them from killing each other. You know, they developed them a long, long time ago, and the only reason that they're still being used hundreds and hundreds of years later is because they actually work. So next time somebody pulls out Robert's rules, maybe you should learn something, because they will save you in a service meeting, especially if there's a lot of strong personalities that, you know, that want their way. Robert's rules will just put everybody on a level playing field. But they really do work very well. You know, some of the things, you know, Spike talked about H&I. H&I has been, you know, is a great thing, and people love doing it. It's a way to talk to addicts who are still, like, right there. You know, some of the things I think that are given a lot of short thrift is public information. And I've been involved in public information off and on for a while. Public information is the only way that we have been able to go out there and become, in the eyes of the world, a viable place to send addicts. Without people sending us addicts, we die as a fellowship. And I don't know if people don't always talk about it. We say the newcomer is the most important person in every meeting. We say that like we're trying to help the newcomer. We're trying to save their life. That's bullshit. The reason they're the most important person at any goddamn meeting is because they're saving our life. If we hadn't had newcomers come in behind me, I'd be sitting in every meeting I went to all alone 15 years later because nobody is there. I mean, there's probably only half a dozen of them come. I go to a meeting on Wednesday night that has 50 to 60 people. I've been going there longer than I've been clean, and only that guy who answers the phone line was there when I got clean, and he's not there every week, most of them. So where would I have been without the newcomer? I'm not, you know, yes, I want addicts to get clean. I want them to find a new way of life, but I want them there so that I don't walk into an empty Narcotics Anonymous meeting. You know, it's still saving my life on a daily basis. And that's why we say the newcomer is the most important person in any meeting. And the longer you stay around, you look around the rooms, and you're going to see that what I'm saying is the truth. You know, many of the people you walked in here with will not be there any longer. And you need those newcomers, because that's the only place you're going to hear the message. You know, and that's sort of a shame, but that's just the way it is. And it's sort of the natural thing that it's hard to, you know, keep going on the same thing day in and day out. A lot of days I get bored. You know, I go to meetings, I say, oh, shit, they're going to say that again. Oh, well, you know what? But I need to hear it again, over and over again, to make sure that I'm not one of those people who sort of drift out and disappear. I guess I haven't talked that much about the structure, but it's really hard to talk about the structure. The structure is boring, you know. Get involved in the structure. Pick something that you really enjoy doing, that you can do from the heart, and just do it. And remember, there are a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that make us a viable fellowship. And I'll go back to the PI thing for a minute. Public information is boring. You sit around, you stuff envelopes, you go talk. You have to, like, take a day off from work and go talk to radio stations, try and get PSAs on the air. You need to go set up tables and put literature out at conferences. And all this. None of this stuff seems like, you know, you don't get that one-on-one contact with an addict that you do going into a jail. But many times you do a whole lot more for a fellowship by doing that than going to an H&I meeting, because when you go to an Association of Social Workers meeting and 100 social workers who have caseloads of 80 people each pick up information in your meeting list and start sending people to your meetings, you know, they have contact with much, much more, many more addicts than we do. And, you know, or that you're going to get an H&I or being forced to go there. You know, social workers only recommend things, and they can send you or not. So, you know, that kind of stuff will really help. And there's my little PI plug. You know, and I do think it's really, really important. You know, I have to say a lot of things really amaze me that we don't talk about them more than we do. The seventh tradition is one thing, you know. I mean, when I got clean, I threw a buck in the basket. You know, now I throw a few bucks in the basket. I can afford to do that. There's been an inflationary thing. But I never hear people talk about that in a seventh tradition meeting. They just talk about the self-support aspect, you know. And a lot of people don't think about it. You know, I've had a couple people I got clean with. I'm like, what are you throwing a buck in the basket for? And they're like, I always throw a dollar in the basket. And I'm like, yeah, that's my point. You've been doing that for 15 years, and a buck doesn't buy what it did 15 years ago. So why don't you throw a few bucks in there? You can afford it, you know. And that's what funds everything. The literature we take into H&I, paying the phone line bill, the literature we go to a PI booth, printing up a sign up to go on a bus, all those kinds of things. And I'd love people to go out there and sort of spread that message around. These conventions are great. I don't think we should rely on them. I believe that the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. And me throwing money in a basket is another way that I help the suffering addict, you know, and I get more out of it than NA does. And, you know, I don't make a lot of money. I keep a lot more than I did when I got here. And I'm able to do that, having gotten some manageability back in my life. If I couldn't do it, you know, that would be okay too. I would have no trouble throwing nothing in the basket. But if I'm able, you know, I try. And that's just sort of one more way to sort of do what I can to help carry the message. And I really have to say that lately, in fact, I've been married 10 years. I met my husband the day he got out of jail at my home group. And I went through a period of 6 months where I had no service position. And I'm somebody who, you know, I spent 8 years doing world service. And much of that was just, I just was having a hard time with it by the end. And I was really, my position ended, and it wasn't an 8 straight years. It was like a couple years, and then nobody wanted to do RD in our region. And it stayed open for a while, and the guy who was the RD asked me if I would be the alternate so he didn't have to do it alone. And I said, okay, and it was a long commitment. So I did it again, and I knew I really didn't want to, and that was one time where I probably should have just left the position open because I really didn't have the heart that I had prior for it. It takes a lot out of you. But that position ended last August, and I didn't have any group service positions or area positions because I'd been the RD. And other than I've always gone to area service and sort of fill the lit orders at area service, count the IPs and put them out and fill out the orders because, you know, no matter what I do, I still like to, you know, really somewhat stay basic. And I went from August until February without a service position. My husband even said, you know, I think this is the first time since I've known you that you don't actually committed to do anything, you know. And an area where I live is hosting next year's convention. And I've done, you know, I've done stuff on the convention before, and I always volunteer here. And I really spent, you know, a couple of months thinking about if I was willing to give that level of commitment, because, you know, it can be quite a level of commitment. And sometimes I think, you know, maybe I've done enough at that level. I should just stay making coffee at my home group, you know, which I also do, and just stay there and be okay with that. And some people encouraged me to go ahead and do it, and, you know, somewhat reluctantly, I was like, okay, I'll do this. And I'm helping with the merchandise next year, and, you know, it's a year of host committee meetings. It's quite intense. It's a lot of stuff. It's aggravating. You know, some people have more experience than others, and you have to sit through the same kind of stuff over again, and sometimes it's really hard, you know. But I went ahead and did it, and I had to do some soul searching, and I believe that, you know, I'm doing it for the right reasons, but it's something that I really, really miss. When I'm not doing service to Narcotics Anonymous, I sort of feel like a part of my life is missing. And I've been happily married for, you know, over 10 years, and I have a nice home, and I've started a new career a couple of years ago. My life is fairly full. And, you know, but there's always seems like, you know, that is a large part of my life. It's what gave me the ability to have a home and a husband and the ability to say I want to make a career change and do all the steps necessary to do that. I've gotten everything from NA. And, you know, and I tell that one guy that, he saved my life, and he's always like, no, your higher power saved your life. I was just the vehicle, you know. But I give him a lot of credit because he's pretty tenacious. He just doesn't let you go. He'll harass you, and it's easier to get clean than it is to deal with using in him. But he saved my life, and it's been a great, great journey, and I really don't know where it's going to take me, but I'm sort of happy to be on it. And I have to say that getting involved in service and staying there has kept me right in the middle, so my chair in those meetings is not empty like a lot of the ones are when I got here. Thanks for letting me share.
I would like to thank Leah and Spike for sharing. Before we open this meeting up to those who would like to share, please remember to come up to the microphone one at a time. Also, try to keep in mind that there are other addicts who are waiting to share. If you don't want to be recorded, please inform the person taping so that they can turn off the recorder while you are sharing. Would anyone like to share? I only have 5 minutes.
I'm an addict named Janice.
Oh, yes.
And I got here a little late, but I heard some really great stuff. And something that I've realized is that this is the first time I've heard a lot of that really great stuff. And I went to the Unity Forum a few months ago, and that was my first taste of political NA. And you know what I realized is that all this stuff that everybody's talking about in meetings, they're not doing it. Do you know how hard it is for me to walk around and find somebody who knows what the traditions are? That scares me because NA has saved my life and is saving my life, you know? And then I look for people to teach me. I don't know what the concepts are. It's the fourth time I've ever heard the concepts mentioned, ever. Ever. And I have to go out of my area to find people whose recovery I see, who they're living their recovery and not just talking about it. And I watch them, and I know that they have the experience, and I say, teach me. You know what I mean? And I guess, you know, I don't really have a lot to say because I haven't done a lot of service. I haven't even been around that long. But something that I've learned is that it's my responsibility to keep myself here, you know. And if I do that, the only way for me to keep myself here is to really make sure that I can be of service. And that's the same message I got today, and that's the same message I get from the people who want what I have. So what I'm asking, kind of, is just if you have that knowledge, don't just come here. Look at how empty it is in here. I just came from a meeting. It was packed. You know what I mean? Don't just come here, please, because I've been looking for people to teach me, and there just aren't that many. And that's all I want to say. Thanks for listening. Thank
I would like to, once again, I want to thank Leah and Spike for sharing, for a really good meeting.
Hi. I have some flyers for World Unity Day. World Services is having a service meeting in Vienna, Virginia, September 1st, and there'll be a banquet and a meeting afterward that's broadcast around the world, and I have flyers for it here. So, you know, if you want to see the RDs from all over the world coming to a service meeting, they'll be there for the weekend, and there'll be a fellowship day event that's free with workshops and a banquet and a recovery meeting that goes out over the airwaves. September 1st, so block it on your calendar, and you can see how NA World Services works.
What's it broadcast on?
Phones? Like, did you ever go to Cartagena?
No.
I mean, the phone thing?
Could someone please read just for today?
Hi, I'm an addict. My name's David.
Hey, David.
Just for today. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Could we please close with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer?